Hi, and welcome to day three of PodAware's podcast. Today, we are going to be covering the author-podfigure relationship, and I have with me KLB, Vimar, and Laliandra, who we're going to refer to as Lal. Okay, so I thought we could start off where we could each talk a little bit about the relationships we've had with either our podfigures or with our authors, depending on which side of the relationship you're sitting on. And we could just, you know, talk about that range and what we've experienced in the past. Why don't you start, KLB?
Let's see. So I've had one, like the longest one I did. The author was super gracious. She said yes immediately. She posted about it when I was finished on her journal. And, but made it very clear that she was never interested in listening. That's like a pretty great relationship for me because I'm like, they're doing things to support me and they're also making their boundaries clear. Like it's not about that they have to be a fan, but they're really open to it and they appreciate it as a compliment to their work that someone would take the time. And so I love that.
And can I just also add to that, since I'm breaking in already, that I think for a lot of people, and I think a lot of authors will try and force themselves to listen, if you're aware that podfic isn't your thing, if you don't process audibly or if you don't, if you're not comfortable listening to that kind of thing, I think most podficers would prefer that you just say so but still support what we do than try and force yourself to listen to it because we don't want to squick you.
Because I get a little uncomfortable. I know at least one author, I feel like, tries to listen to stuff because she feels like someone did it about her stuff. So, like, the least she can do is, like, listen to it or something. The idea of somebody listening to my podfic because they felt obligated to because it was podfic of their work makes me actually pretty uncomfortable. And I would much prefer an author who was just like, no, I totally respect you and your work, but for personal reasons, I don't want to listen to my own words read, or I'm not interested in listening to stories read aloud at all, and therefore, I'm just not going to listen to it. Okay, so there's another author that I've worked with that she gave blanket permission early on, and she was kind of like in the first category at first, but then this is Vexless. She listened to a couple podfics of her work and started really loving it because she said she felt like she was hearing the stories for the first time and like awesome stories. She's an amazing author, but hearing someone else interpret them, she felt like she was getting it as a, like as someone having the story told to her versus when she wrote it and she was the one telling it. So she was getting the experience of her stories in a way like fresh for the first time. And she started getting really excited about it and followed me on Twitter because of it. And at one point tweeted, like, I wish there was just podfic of every one of my stories. And that enthusiasm totally got me to just podfic another one of her stories recently because it's really great if someone does love it and you know they want it. That is a great incentive. I have November Smith. She's, like, one of my closest friends. And I've actually beta'd most of the stories that she's done recently. And so I have a couple stories of hers that I worked on them with her as a beta, and then I recorded them, and those felt so comfortable. It's just like slipping into like your most comfortable outfit, you know, like every single word just felt like I'd already thought about it, and it just felt like such a good fit. I love doing that. And then I had, of course, my Pod Together author who wrote just for me, even though she didn't, I'm not sure she knew my style, just the fact that it was written just for me was super cool. I think that's most of the big categories. People who are a fan, people who are supportive, even though they don't listen, and people who you have even more of a relationship with their words for whatever reason, because you've been a beta or know them really well. Those are all the great ones that I've, the categories of great, great authors that I've worked with.
How about you, Vimar? I guess I have similar categories. For the most part, people are very supportive of me wanting to podfic their work, and they're pretty hands-off. I think most of them, even if they don't listen to it, you know, they at least give the post of thanks for podficking my work when I finally post it. I did have one who seemed to have actually, I think she actually listened to them all the way through because I did two of her stores. So she listened to them all the way through before posting, both on her journal and commenting on it. But I am kind of flattered that she, like, actually listened to it and appreciated it and liked it. But for the most part, I get the impression that everyone's pretty supportive, and they're supportive and they may not quite get it. I haven't finished recording it, but there was one author who doesn't really like podfic, but she was, you know, receptive to the fact that I wanted to podfic her work. There was one author who didn't want her work podficked. This was going to be a gift, an auction fulfillment. I posted on the auction and someone wanted this work podficked, and the author didn't want to do it. And the reason they didn't want to do it was because they couldn't see it interpreted any other way other than text. And apparently she's been asked a couple times to podfic this. Other reason I kind of wanted to have this discussion was because there was one, I haven't started podficking it yet, but the permission thread that went through the message when I asked for permission was kind of interesting, and I'm going to be the first one person to podfic something of hers, and the thread that we had was kind of interesting because she seemed to be wanted pretty involved, but, you know, sort of what are the boundaries of that?
Okay. How about, well, you've had podfic made of your fix. How have the relationships been with you?
I had, like, just a normal podfic done, and then I took part in pod together. So really two quite different experiences. And the person who was podficking my stories is her friend, Shining Aspect. Mm-hmm. So she talked to me quite, not a lot, but, like, a little bit about it before she podficked it. Like, you know, she was like, hey, I'm going to record one of your stories, but it's the story where one of the characters is English and one of them is American, and I am totally not going to do any kind of English accent. Is that okay with you? Would you prefer if I picked a story where everyone has my accent? And I was like, no, it's totally fine. And I'm like, that's cool. Please, please. Please, for the love of God, you're not feeling British accent.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're British. You would feel the pain of if she did it.
Oh, my God. It's literally the one thing that will make me, like the podcast equivalent of back button straight away, is if someone is trying to be British. I'm so I say, okay, if you're going to pretend to be any other nationality but that, I'm just like, no, no. Sorry. That was her main, like, major concern, was that, like, there was like, a line in the fic about accents, and she was just like, oh. But, yeah, so that was the one thing, and, yeah, I was like, yes, go do your thing, and that's fine by me. And, yeah, when I got back to it and listened back through it, like, there were lines that seemed funnier when they were said out loud than I thought they were on the page, which was really, really awesome to me. And then, so, with Pod Together, I was doing it with Nailrin, and, like, we spent quite a lot of time beforehand, like, she read some of my fic, and I listened to her, some of her other pod fics, so we could sort of get an idea of what the other person was good at. And then I was like, so here are some things I've been thinking about writing, and she picked the idea she liked best. She actually sent me a recording, and at the beginning, she just sent, like, there was, like, 5-ish minutes of audio of her just being like, hey, this is me, just wanted to say hi, and I love this story, and, like, you know, like, here are some questions that I had, and it was, like, and then, so when I sent her, like, the answers back, I recorded them, just so, like, it felt like we were having an audio conversation, and so, some of the lines I could be like, this is really hard to describe textually, but here is how I'm going to describe it audio-wise, if that makes any sense. Yeah, and then I picked a song for the end and she picked a song for the beginning. But, yeah, she ended up being massively busy, so I had to, like, edit it all together with my, like, daily audacity skills, being like, listening to the same 10 seconds of Palisade Park over and over and over again. But yeah. So that was good. Like, it was, yeah, really cool experience. And yeah, I mean, it was twice as traditional fic, like, there wasn't anything too fancy in it. But yeah, like, just doing it and being able to it was quite cool being able to be like, no, I don't think that line should be read that way. I would prefer it a different way. But
how did listening to her beforehand change how you wrote it?
Well, like, I knew firsthand, like, we talked about this, but, like, she has a really amazingly strong Kurt voice. So I made my point of view character, I was instantly like, well, clearly the point of view character should be the character that she seems to have a really natural flair for reading. She said beforehand in, like, one of the emails we had, she was like, she likes it. She likes the narration and the dialogue to be very clearly marked, so, which is not something I'm always that good at.
I will second that, because I've had ones where I'm like, I don't even know who's talking, and I'm supposed to be saying who's talking. We need some goddamn dialogue tags.
But, yeah, very definitely, like, at the end of each one, it was like, cut this, blame this. And I was just like, yeah, this is good. But yeah, so that kind of thing. And we sort of talked about tone vaguely, but it was sort of more like, I was like, yeah, I tend to write a lot of dialogue, and it's probably going to be quite like light and fun. And she was like, be great. she was like, yeah, I would like to do something funny. So I tried to write funny things. It was really awesome. I was like, it's one of my favorite things. I listen to it all the time.
Cool. So I think I have a bunch of questions that I want to ask you, but just to keep the flow going, I'm going to finish off with my experience with my authors. So I've had, like, a pretty big range of the experiences that I've had with my authors. Like, I've had, at the very bottom of the scale, I've had someone ask me to take my podfic down. That was a really awkward situation, though. I've had an author completely, like, just not acknowledge that I had done it, where they had given blanket permission. I left them a comment saying, here's a podfic that I did, and she never acknowledged it. And then I've had, on the opposite end, I've had ones where they get really involved, where I tend to get more on the like, in-between, where because I have trouble finishing things that I start. So I generally will record something in its entirety and generally be done editing it before I go and ask for permission. So because I'm already done, I don't stop to, like, throw questions at my author. So a lot of the, like, one-sidedness is on me. So there's a lot of times where it's just like, okay, yeah, go ahead and do it. And then I'll be like, here you go. And I'll just get, like, encouragement after the fact that it's done. But there have been a few times where, like, there's one that I'm doing that's a work in progress, and the author got really involved, and we would talk over some of the scenes that I was doing, and she would, like, send me advance notice of the fic, like, the next chapters in the fic, because the fic itself is a work in progress as well. So, like, that's probably the most involved relationship that I've had, where, like, I was just we're constantly talking to each other whenever I'm working on it, or whenever she's working on it. So that one's a fun one, but not my normal MO. On a personal level, all I really need from my authors is permission. Anything that they want to give me beyond that is great, but it's not necessary.
Okay, I want to jump in, because you're staying on the topic that I really want to talk about, which is, like, this author involvement. Like, do we want authors to be hands-off or hands-on? And it's making me think about, so I worked with Lady Fox on this Pod Together-like project. It was right at the end of Pod Together. And she wrote the fic, and then I gave her a test read, and she smoothed out a couple things. And she gave me an interpretation. She was kind of like, well, I was thinking that this character was a little bit less, like, actually annoyed and a little bit more just tired. And it was really cool having that direction and going through and doing the story again. But as you were talking, I was kind of thinking, like, would I like it if every single time the author kind of came in and was like, here's how I was interpreting the characters, here's how I saw them.
I think as podfickers, like, it comes down to, like, we're all artists, and you want to have control over your work. And while we're not adverse to hearing other things, we still want to have the ultimate control. And I don't think that's a surprising thing. I don't even think it's a bad thing. I think there might be issues when it's maybe not conveyed properly, and part of the reason why I push so much for Dear Author letters, which I'm going to get into an explanation of in a minute in case people haven't heard of it, is just because right now, like,
depending on the fandom that you're in and the authors that you choose, but a lot of the times you can be an author's first experience with podfic. Like, it's not uncommon for me to go and ask someone to podfic their stuff, and they're like, what's podfic? And when that happens, you're the person explaining what it is. And you can't, the author doesn't really know what it is that they're getting into. They don't know what it is they're agreeing to. And so they might have ideas that they're doing because they think they're normal, and they're not normal to you or whatever. And when that happens, I think, like, that's part of the reason why I'm trying to run PodAware, is just that more people are aware of PodFic, so that, you know, not everyone has to be the, like, gateway when they go and ask if they can be recorded.
Yeah.
But I also think it can be really hard because, you know, an author who's never heard of PodFic, they might draw their own conclusions that are really different from the prevailing conclusions in PodFic fandom. And it can be really insulting to the podficker or to the author when the podficker doesn't listen. Like, but there was this one author named Bejeweled who made a post about, like, what she would expect if someone were to podfic her work. And podfic fandom had this giant reaction of do not want. And I don't think, like, one, she wasn't describing podfic fandom, and she acknowledged that afterwards, like, totally outside of that conversation, that, you know, what she was talking about clearly wasn't podfic. And I think that's where a lot of the tension was getting, because she was, anyways. But it also came down to, like, that's not what people want. And the fact that she was also kind of saying that podfic fandom was doing it wrong got people upset. But she had a certain set of expectations of what she would expect if someone were to podfic her work. And I don't necessarily think that's bad, but you have to realize that then if that's what you're expecting, there's going to be some podfickers that are like, I'm not touching that.
I think in general, I just like hands off, where you just let me do my thing. I'll come to you for input if I'm kind of stuck in how to interpret things, or if I'm not quite sure how to pronounce stuff. And you let me do my thing, and we kind of are happy.
Because as podfickers, we don't expect them to go back and rewrite the fic to, like, better suit the podfic. We just kind of also expect for, like, the author to respect what we've done in our side of the art, which I don't think we would, I would never demand it, but I would also, like, I really like it when an author can be open with me, especially when we're getting into situations where, like, there's this one podfic that I started that had pretty much no dialogue tags in it. And I was trying to record it, and I was reading it, and I was getting confused, and I was the reader, and I knew that the listeners were going to get confused too. And so finally I just asked the author, can I add some dialogue tags in here so that people know who's talking? And the author was like, yeah, sure. Or there was another situation where the author included a lot of, like, embedded asides in the middle of a sentence, and personally, I sometimes have problems following those as a reader, but at least when you're a reader, you can get to the end of the aside, jump back up with your eyes to before the aside started, and realize, oh, we were in the middle of talking about this before we got distracted. But it's much harder to do that with podfic. So I sat down and spoke to the author, and she agreed to let me edit it a little bit so that you could have the complete sentence and then the aside after the sentence. And that way it just worked more clear. And I think there's, like, those are two really specific examples, but I think a lot of podfickers would like authors to be aware like that, and to be, not aware, to be open to things like that to help us better do our craft. But I think we also kind of want to have our own power over what we do.
It's like, it's an interesting thing because it's a lot of negotiating ownership about stuff that doesn't come up that much in, as much in other fan works, because, like, a fic is usually deeply personal to the author, and a podfic is usually deeply personal to the podficker. And so it's like negotiating the ownership between these things that mean a lot to you and, like, are your artistic form of expression, and, like, who owns what part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, it's nice to just be like, you know, let's delineate, like we did in Pod Together, right? We're like, collaborate all you want, but just know going in, the author has final say over the words, and the podficker has final say over the performance. And that's kind of nice to be like, here it is in final form. But then it's also super nice, like Kataka is saying, to come together and actually collaborate and be like, okay, you know, like if it comes down to it, I have final say here, but that said, let's talk. You know, if it comes down to it, you have final say about the words, but here's a thought that I'm having. Yeah. And that's really actually amazing, that kind of collaboration, and something that I hope that more and more starts to get opened up, because it's super fun. Like, here I am saying, like, I'd rather authors be hands-off a lot of the time, but in another way, I love working together. I just want it to be like, I don't want them to have final say over something like that, but I never don't want to hear their suggestions and thoughts.
I want to bring it back and ask Lau some questions as the author.
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit like, okay, guys, we're really nice, I swear to God.
That's why I wanted an author on, because I know that, first of all, Podfic are a little bit defensive about their work, because
you
get some weird stuff, even though I totally respect authors, so that's why I wanted you here.
I just, like, had a couple of things to say, like, to the things that you've been saying, because, the idea of, like, a sort of spirit of collaboration or whatever, like, that sounds awesome to me. Like, if I got a PM or something being like, hey, I would love to pocket your stuff, but, you know, let's do this together, that would be, like, I probably wouldn't maybe take them up on it unless they asked for it, but it would be really awesome. Whereas I think if I got a letter, and, like, I have blanket permission, and I would totally, but if it was like, I am recording this, like, I understand that it's your fic, but whatever, like, if you have any opinions about it, I am not going to change a single thing. Like, yeah, I would, like, I was trying to think if there was ever a time where I'd be like, yeah, I have issues with a podfic, because...
That's kind of the questions that I wanted to ask you. Like, when you went in, the first time someone asked if they could podfic your work, do you remember what kind of assumptions you had, like, over, like, ownership, over artisticness, over any of that stuff?
Because I have several friends who are podficers, I already knew about, like, what they would sort of be doing beforehand, before I'd had anything of mine personally done. But, I sort of assumed that they would just go away and do it and post it, and I would listen to it and either like it or not. And yeah, I was really worried that I wouldn't like it. the idea of having my own words read back to me was, like, weird, but actually it was awesome. But yeah, I mean, I just sort of assumed that, like, it would just be a project completely sort of divorced from me and my input.
And I think
I was okay with, but, like, I thought about it, and I was like, I wonder if a podcast got posted, and there was, like, a line or something where it's just, like, that is completely against what I feel that my character would do. I don't know what I would do about that. Like, that's quite a scary thought.
I know one of the things in the Bejeweled post that was coming up, Bejeweled's stance on it was that she wanted, like, a really hands-on, where she wanted a radio play, basically, and she wanted to direct it. And she wanted to have say over, like, whether you're doing, like, you know, read that line again, you've read it wrong, and like, just a lot of stuff that isn't very common in podfic fandom. And there was a lot of authors that came over, too, that were, like, just staring in horror going, because she was kind of talking about, like, the potential of what podfic fandom could be, which was part of the reason why everyone got so angry. But there was, like, a lot of authors being like, God, no! No, I don't want this! Because you know how much time it's... Like, do you know how hard it is to find the time to write what I want, let alone make a giant production to have it, like, all the work that you say? I don't want that much work. Let the podfic, because they know what they're doing, do their stuff. And we'll be like, and I'll write the stuff, because that's what I know how to do. And I think there's a lot of authors that are like that. And there's probably some authors that want to be more involved. And I get that, because you put a lot of effort into the stuff that you write. I put a lot of effort into the stuff that I podfic. So I get that. And I think there's a lot of people that would be willing to negotiate on it. But again, mm-hmm. knowing about it in advance is kind of important. And two, being able to have someone, like, have a final, like,
boundaries of who has the final say, I think can be really important in the beginning, when, before going into those things. Because I've definitely been in stalemate situations, not related to podfic, but, like, related to fandom stuff, where it's like, I feel this way, and the person I'm working on this with feels that way. And in the end, the project just never happened because we weren't willing to bend. And so I could see that being a problem if you don't set up, if you don't negotiate boundaries really well at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, like, fic is really, like, not for everyone, but I definitely for me, like, something you spend a lot of time on. And I know it's the same for podfic, but, like, you know, I'm the person here to speak for authors. So you do spend a lot of time on it. And, but, I mean, it's, like, I know that fic is a much more recognized thing than podfic, but it's still not, like, it's not, many people don't see it as, like, legitimate writing. It's still not something that you're gonna, like, oftentimes, like, you might not get that much feedback. And so, like, it is something that you become really protective of. So, yeah, like, establishing something really clear at the beginning before you get into, like, the whole emotions of, like, you're a podfic and you're really in love with your work and the fic person is really in love with their work too. I think that's probably key, because if someone comes in and is like, yeah, you wrote this thing and it was unclear, so I interpreted it this way, you're going to be like, oh, how dare you when I put all these hours in, and like,
but I wonder
that
if
is
you
the
really
way it goes down so far.
Because I feel like if it were a podficker who were intelligently, like, thinking it through, sometimes you might be like, whoa. Like, I've actually kind of sometimes seen, because, you know, I look up a lot of stuff that people, whenever people talk about podfic, I will probably see it if it's public. And I've seen some authors be like, you know, I didn't think of it that way at all.
But it's amazing anyways.
And so I think you could kind of be like, get to the point of like sometimes if it was an intelligent assumption instead of just like careless, you'd be like, wow, I didn't mean that, but what an awesome, like, idea that had never occurred to me.
Oh, no.
I actually had toxic feedback recently where someone was like, I really like the way you did this, and I was like, I didn't do that. but it's kind of cool that you heard that in my performance, like, which I feel like might be similar to, like, this thing where you're like, that's not what I intended at all. You didn't get it at all, but what you did get was really cool. Like, I like that that's in there, too.
That happened a couple of times in the space that I didn't really have any input in. Like, yeah, I was like, I didn't really think that was, like, a particularly funny line, but now it kind of just sounds hilarious, and that's amazing. And, yeah, I was like, that's really cool, because that happens with writing, too. Like, readers will be like, hey, I really like the way you did this, and you'll be like, bah! Well, that was an accident, but excellent. But, like, yeah, I think... But if it was something else, like, if you felt that they were wrong or whatever, then that would be, like, very different.
I know that Sephiroth made a post, like, a while back about how, because she's an author who's given blanket permission and has had quite a few podfics made of her work, where she was kind of sitting in awe because she's like, this isn't my story anymore. And she meant that in a positive way, where it's like, and she was actually talking about how she's not really able to read her fics after she's written them because she just puts so much effort into it, and she sees, I think she was saying too, she sees the mistakes. I could be projecting though, because I'm like, that was my podfics. But she was like, now suddenly though, there's this audio recording of it, and it's like it's not mine anymore. It's renewed, and it's awesome because all these things that I didn't intend are there, and it makes it different enough that it's something wholly new to me. And it's just really cool to see how different people interpret stuff.
Yeah, like, there is a fear there on both sides.
So I don't know what I was thinking when I did this, but I asked permission, and she had never had podfic done before. And so she had one sentence of, can I listen before you do it? And I was like, sure, I have no problem with listening before it's posted, and I'll take feedback up to a point. The rest of my reply was, it's equivalent to someone's beta a story you're writing. Some things are subjective. Fair warning, some podfickers may not like this. And her response was, I understand the beta situation. I ask for betas and then pretty much ignore everything but punctuation and spelling. I'll completely understand if you do the same. So I think what I was thinking was maybe having the author be the beta, which could be awkward or weird, but I think it'd be kind of interesting experience to have.
I think that's a really good way of establishing it, though, and making it clear your boundaries. Good way of incorporating all of that without being like, you know, trying to lay it. It lays down the hard lines, but it lays it down in a way that the author is already familiar with, so it doesn't seem as harsh. So I think that's a really good way to go about it. One of the things that I wanted to mention on was when you mentioned that she wanted to listen to it before you posted.
Yeah.
Something that can be really ambiguous that I would urge authors, if they want that kind of sentiment, to maybe be a little bit more clear than that. I know there was a situation where a potficker, fire juggler, she's maintaining a master list of Harry Potter authors who want to give permission. And it's not just straight blanket permission. Some of it's just like putting your name on the list to say, I'm open to podfic, come talk to me about it. But one of the things in her example was something like, I want to listen to it before you post it. And I had giant warning bells going off behind my head and being like, oh my God, because I think the way she meant it, the way she was interpreting it when she wrote it was they get to listen to it before we post it. But I just knew that there's going to be some people that are like, I want to listen to it before I give permission. And that's the kind of situation I would never get involved in. If someone
I would never get involved in that situation. That's why I added the whole kind of, because she's new to it, that's why I sort of added the whole sort of, it's kind of like the beta relationship.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool to get to continuous feedback, but I kind of wanted to establish that it's the beta relationship.
And I just wanted to, like, point out that if some author said that, it might, like, said it just that way, it might send off some bad warning bells for podfickers that might scare them away.
Yeah.
That if that's not what you mean, just, like, make it very clear. Yeah, I give permission, but can I listen to it before you post it? My permission still stands, but I would just like to be the first to listen to it. Just to expand on it a little bit, because that might scare, like, I'm beginning to realize I can be very vocal about my opinions on my values of as a podficker and all of this, but there are also a lot of other podfickers that are more shy or more timid or whatever, that if they hear that, they might just assume the worst and walk away, and they won't question back when maybe they should. So just be careful with language. And, you know, I think, okay, I'm actually going to stop and define what a dear author letter is because it's not that widely known. But there's a situation a while back, I think about a year ago, where I made a meta-y post about how I felt very insecure as a podficker because I felt like there was a situation where an author was assuming some control over my podfic that was aware that sometimes an author's perception over what it means to give permission to podfic was different than my own perception. And it started this meta conversation. And as a result, Revolutionary Joe made a post on her journal saying, dear author, when I asked to podfic one of your works, this is what I'm thinking in my head. It was very much a, you know, here's what I'm thinking what I expect. What I'm saying, even though I sometimes forget to say it. Because as I said, sometimes the podfic that asks for permission can be the author's first experience with podfic. So it was her saying, like, you know, I'm asking because I really, really love your fic. And I kind of expect certain control over things. And she just kind of laid down what she was comfortable with. And I was like, this is an amazing idea. Why don't we do it more often? And so I wrote one, and then I, like, made some posts around going, other people write it. And I know some other people have. I don't know if it's quite taken off yet, but I think it's a really good idea of just putting it out there of, like, these are my default assumptions. I'm not saying they're not negotiable, but, you know, when I ask, this is what I'm thinking. Because a lot of authors won't know to ask about these things. They're just going to make their own assumptions. And if you guys make assumptions, like, if you guys are making different assumptions, that can lead to heartbreak later on. And it's just better to put it out there. And if an author reads over and they're like, I'm not entirely comfortable with this section of it, you can negotiate it. And maybe the negotiation might be you both walk away, but a lot of the time there's a middle ground that you can find. So that's the concept behind a Dear Author letter. And I think putting something in your Dear Author letter like, hey, an author, if you want to, like, be my beta, that's totally something I'm open to, but no pressure if you don't. I think that would be a great addition.
I took Revolutionary Joe's Dear Author letter, and I haven't posted it on my journal what it is, but it's kind of what I have a template in Google Docs that I use every time I ask for permission. You know, I added things of like, you know, if you don't give me your permission, I'm going to respect the decision. I still kind of feel like we have to ask for permission.
Oh, a Dear Author letter doesn't negate asking for permission. It's generally what I'll do when I go and ask permission, I'll be like, and here's my letter so you can find out a little bit more background on what Podtic is to me.
See, I don't, like, send them a link to my Dear Author letter. I have my Dear Author letter. My permission, my asking for permission is therefore my Dear Author letter.
Right, basically. You copy and paste it into your
I just file. Copy and paste it and, you know, add for...
I like having it as a single post for a couple reasons. One, it's linked to in my profile. So if, like, 10 years down the road, someone's like, oh, shit, I've changed my emails. I don't have her contact information anymore, but I can see, you know, it on her journal. It's right there so they can easily find me. And it also means that if I change how I approach things, I can update it. Like, one of the things that I have listed in my pod, in my blanket permission is, these are the places that I'm posting a copy of my podfic. So I have it on my personal journal, and I have a copy uploaded to the Audiofic archive. And most of the time, those are the only places that they're being posted. So, like, I might hot link, but the file themselves are only hosted in those places. And that way, like, it can just be a way so that they can see where everything is. And I keep up-to-date contact information there if they ever need to email me. It's just, yeah. So, and also, I like to keep it open just because if there are other podcasters thinking about doing this, they can see what I've written, and it can help them inform maybe what they want to put in their own words. So that's why I'm a real advocate of having a single place. It just makes it more open, and it makes it easier for the author to get a hold of you later if they need to. And I guess the flip side of that would be blanket permission statements. And I know it's really common for authors to go to, like there's a lot of posts in different places where people can leave blanket permission there. And I'm going to cover this more in the blanket permission day. But, oh, please, please, please don't just put your blanket permission there. It's much more useful if it's on, like, your journal profile or your master list or your AO3 profile or wherever it is you post your stuff. And that way, it also means that the author is more likely to remember it or be able to go back and edit it later if they change their mind. If you are someone who is not okay with having podfic, please, please, please tell us. There's a lot of people, I think, who maybe take the passive-aggressive route and just don't acknowledge. And most people will respect that. But it can lead to a lot of heartbreak where you're just sitting there, you're left hanging, basically. I would rather have someone come up to me and say, no, don't podfic this, than to just never get back to me. If you aren't comfortable with it, please just say so. It's much less heartbreaking for the podficker than just never knowing.
There's two fics out there. One was for a friend, so I was going to podfic this story for her. And it's been about a year and a half, and I haven't gotten any response. I'm not quite sure what's going on.
All right,
so on the flip side of having that blanket permission post, is it okay to have that sort of...
I understand that it's, like, a completely legitimate thing, but, like, to have them say it out there would kind of hurt my feelings a little bit.
Okay, I think getting down to the reason why I would especially appreciate someone who just goes out and says, no, I'm never going to give permission, I'm the type of person that records before I ask. So if I go and put all of this effort into making a podfic and then I go and ask and you say no, I mean, I'm always going to respect that, but I've just gone and wasted all this time recording something. And that's a risk I take every time I do it. If you can help me avoid taking that risk, I'm going to appreciate it, even if I don't love the idea behind it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's because, in a way, I've never gotten a no. that I'm kind of, I think if I had gotten to know, that probably would be a worse experience than seeing someone just say, giving blanket, like, refusal, you know?
True. I can't imagine, like, ever wanting to say no to, or, like, give, like, a blanket no, but, like, I think, I don't know, just to go off sort of on a point, like, saying, like, Podfic is to fic what kind of fic is to its canon is probably a really good way of putting it to authors. Like, I don't want to be like, this is how you should pander to authors to get them to bend to your will, but, you know. This is how you should pander to authors to get them to bend to your will. Because, like, it is, like, a transformative work in its own way. And so that is definitely something that we can understand if you're like, well, we would like to interpret the characters in our own way. This is, like, a Spanish thing.
Like, ideal, my fantasy perfect author experience.
Okay.
Actually, there's a couple different scenarios that I think would be my fantasy perfect one. But, like, one would be the perfect hands-off version of the experience. And that would be if an author wasn't interested in being involved, if they either had blanket permission or had done podfic, like, had podfic done of their work before, so I could ask them and they would quickly say yes. And probably they would say it in, like, an enthusiastic way, even if they weren't going to listen. They'd be like, yes, totally, that's cool. And that they... when I showed it to them, that they would do a post on their journal just mentioning it, or, like, mentioning it within some post that they did about something else, link back to it from the story. So anyone who read the story at the top or at the bottom or whatever, it would say, you know, if you're interested in the podfic version of it, here it is, and link back to where they could download that. That would, I mean, that's basically it. That's what I would love, that they acknowledge it, like, within the story, because that'll get so many more people aware of it if they're interested, and if they're not interested, they're not going to click through anyway.
I would add another thing to that fantasy list, maybe in their blanket permission or in the communication that you had with them, that they would communicate that they were open, like maybe not even just giving blanket permission for us to change their text, but they would be open to listening to our concerns about any possible changes to the text that we need to make to transfer it to a different medium. Because, you know, something that works great in text might need some tweaking to work great in audio. So I would include that, an openness.
I would like to add something to what KLB says. So they're hands off, they post on their journal, they link to a post within the fic, and also if they have a master post, it'd be cool if they add that link to the master post.
Totally, that's really fun when they do that, yeah.
I would also maybe add to that that the link that they provide is to your post rather than to the file directly, because I've seen some people post directly to the file, and if that happens and someone listens to it, it's much harder for them to come back and tell me as a podficker if they enjoyed it or not.
So, Lau.
Yeah.
What would your ideal, like, content of a request for podfic permission be? Like, what would you want the podficker to say? How would you want them to say it in a way that would feel the best to you as an author?
I've never had anyone, like, send me, like, an official one, so I don't really know how I would react to that. But ideally, like, I think the idea of establishing some guidelines really early on sounds like a pretty good idea because, That is the place for negotiating, like, at the beginning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for me, like, even if you don't want them to be particularly collaborative, I think that idea of being, like, this is something you've worked really hard on, and this is something that I am going to put a lot of effort into for me and for the story. I think, like, if you're coming across as someone who, like, loves the story and kind of understands that you are going to be, like, irrationally impacted, because it's, like, your tiny baby of words. Like, that's probably going to be someone you're going to be like, okay, I will now hand over my child to you and assume you're going to, like, do well by it.
I think it's fairly common when people, like, I always start my request for permission, and I think it's fairly common that others do this, as, like, the comment we would be leaving if we weren't asking for permission. So, like, hey, I really liked your fic. These parts of it really worked for me, and then I get into, like, later, and because I liked it so much, I would really like to podfic it, and here's some of the podficking stuff.
I tend to kind of embed the amount of work that goes into it by saying something like, for like a fic that I know is going to make like a 10-minute pod fic, by saying something like, I'd really love to spend a few days really immersed in it. Something that kind of like implies, like, by the way, you know, doing this involves a lot of work, but also like, I really want to spend a lot of time like intensely with your story. Because it is like a huge compliment, and I think I only would do it for a fic that like I really, really love, because every single word of that thing I'm going to be spending a lot of time with. And I think for someone who doesn't know what the podficking experience is like, and I don't even want to say it's like that for everyone. For some people, like we say, they use the clapping method, and they're able to, you know, edit it without even listening back to all of it. But for the way that I work, you know, it means that I want to spend a lot of time really thinking deeply about the story and, like, really intensely hearing that story until I can usually, like, say back paragraphs of it almost word for word by the time I'm done editing that podfic. And, I mean, it is a huge expression of love.
I don't think I'm necessarily as good at that, and I probably, like, help destroy the image of how long it takes, because I'll be like, hey, can I do this? And then when they say yes, I'll be like, and here's the 2-hour podfic already done. But I think most people realize that I've worked on it before.
Magic podfic. Bam.
But to be clear, I would never put in work that I wasn't comfortable, like, not posting before asking permission. Like, I would ask before I got in deep enough that I minded terribly much if they said no. I just want to say that for, like, authors who are listening to this and who are like, oh, my God, now I can't say no because, you know, like,
yes.
I always know what I'm getting into, and it's always completely fair if you're going to say no and not worry about, like, whether I've already done some work on it.
If I went and recorded something and they said no afterwards, I would never hold the time that I put into that against them, because I did it because I liked it enough that I would do it just for me. If I can do it for other people, that's amazing, but I do it just for me first.
Yeah.
If I'm putting that kind of time into it.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
I kind of want to jump into, like, what's my ideal scenario with, like, a really hands-on, collaborative thing. Maybe the fic's already written, maybe it's not. Let's say it's not. I would love it to be something where the author and I maybe know each other a little bit, or at least I know their work or they know my work, and maybe they give me a few different choices about what kind of story it could be. My pod together started like that, and it was so cool. She actually wrote the first, like, couple hundred words of a couple different stories, and I was like, that one I love. So I would love it to be that I get, like, some choice at the beginning of which path I want to go down. And I would love if, like, I had some beta, some chance to beta the story, although, of course, they could ignore or overrule any of my suggestions. And then me doing a cold reading for them, because I really enjoyed that. Me doing, like, just, like, the first thing that came to my mind, here's a really rough version where I don't edit at all, here you go. And then listening back and being like, oh, this choice that you made, I would do differently. Whether they had any, like, large-scale ideas about the character, like, the whole tone. Like I said, okay, this character is a little bit less, like, angry right here and a little just more, like, sleepy and, like, slightly annoyed. That was super helpful. And then me going back and doing it, and maybe if I had, like, some parts where I had choices between two line readings, being like, which one do you think? And then giving them a finished, but a rough finished one, not like a, because I always do a edit, the first draft edit, where I just put together minute by minute, and then I always listen back through, and, like, I notice things about the way the whole thing coheres. Like, maybe this line reading sounded really great, but when I listen to it in the context of the minute that came before it, it doesn't really work for me. So, like, when I have the first draft that's still super rough that I would still make a ton of changes to, send it to them at that point so that they can suggest some changes then. When it doesn't feel like I'm finished, it feels like there's still a lot of work I'm going to do, but I'd like your input before I do it. And then getting beta back from them. And then just, like, making sure that both of us are happy with it before it gets posted. And posting together the way we did. I love that, you know, deciding at the same time to announce and post and doing the AO3 post together. I think that's my ideal kind of collaboration. But I will add on two things. One, I would be super happy with a collaboration even where I jumped in after it was written and edited, like, later. But if I was like, you know, I'd love you to beta, and they were interested, I'd like it to be the same sort of thing where I did a rough one. They gave me big directorial notes, and then I did it again, and they could give me, like, the tinier beta. Those are my long and rambly thoughts on that. What do other people think?
I liked the idea of, I think that's maybe what I was trying to get back with that one author, is this sort of, like, feedback loop that you're talking about. Sort of, like, you read it, you do a rough edit, you send it off to them, and they give you what they thought, you know, the differences between the way they imagined it and, you know, could you try this? The other thing I like to do, and I forgot to mention in the beginning, but I have an author that I'm pretty close with, and so I do a lot of podfucking of her stuff. And so I did one for Pod Together, and so that experience was pretty cool. It was collaborative. So it was like, she's kind of like, what did you kind of want to read? And I was like, well, I want to read a fairy tale. So someone, I would like, you know, pretend I'm someone reading someone a bedtime story. And so she went off and she wrote this bedtime story, you know. Yeah, so I was like, I thought it'd be kind of cool. And she's like, well, I was thinking, you know, maybe a bedtime story about the Winchesters from the monster's point of view. And I was like, that's awesome.
Cool.
So I like that aspect of it. But another thing I do with her and that I'd like to do with more challenges is, as challenges start to open up to podfic being the sort of complementary work, so she's doing the 30 snapshots for Nano. And so as she writes each snapshot, I'm going to be doing a podfic of it. So you're actually part of the writing process that way. So that's kind of be my dream collaborative thing would be sort of be the complimentary fan work. So I've signed up for like SPN Cinema where I kind of wanted to be the complimentary fan work. It might not work out, but there's another big thing that I signed up for specifically as a podficker. So I'm going to be doing a podfic of the finished work. And I think that's kind of cool.
And like, does the podfic get posted as the fic is posted?
Yes. It may not quite be as collaborative as Pod Together, but it's still kind of you're posting together, which I think is kind of cool, because the cool thing about those big things is that art and fic are posted together. You know, it's a work. It's the complementary work.
Even though the fic comes first and the art comes second, they get posted like all as one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have two things to add when I think of like really cool collaborative with the author. One, and I saw this happen on Pod Together, where the way the author wrote it, they had their stage directions so embedded in the fic that the fic was clearly not meant to be read on paper or textually. It's meant to be listened to. Like, I remember there was one author that used all caps all over the place to use, like, to emphasize, like, emotion or yelling or whatever that you wouldn't include if you were just writing something. So, like, seeing some of the ways that people can write things that are deliberately meant to be read aloud instead of to be read on the screen, I think that would be a really awesome process to work through. And I think that would require it being written specifically for the podficker, not something that came afterwards. But I think that's a really fun idea
to
play
with. That's what my other Pod Together author did. She wrote a radio play.
Yeah, you're writing a play maybe instead of writing a fic, or you're writing a monologue or something that's really clearly meant to be acted as opposed to read as text. The other thing that I would really think would be cool, I've done some recordings in groups where, you know, we're all sitting around a table reading and having that instant feedback where everyone's sitting there and they can tell you, no, you said that word wrong, or how would you try saying it this way? I think it'd be really cool to sit down with an author and do that. Like, maybe, you know, if they don't live near me, we can't sit around my kitchen table, but, you know, even do it on Skype where they're listening to me as I read it and they can give me right away and be like, you know, I actually kind of pictured it this way. And then that way you're also getting their verbal notes, so they can be like, I pictured it this way, and they can act it out, and then I can try and act on that. And, you know, I'm sure it would be a long process and editing would take a long time, but I think it would be a really cool experience to have like the author directing you right there as you're recording it, as opposed to doing all these steps back and forth. Yeah, that I think that would be a really cool experience to just get that live feedback as you're recording.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
So clearly there might be some people open to that. I would definitely want to start with a short fic, but that's
an idea to go with. I would totally try that.
Yeah, I was like, just all of those sound so cool. I want to do those things. But yeah, I was just thinking, like, all mine are just like, I just want them to understand this, like, you were talking about, like, a baker relationship, and I always like to have someone feathery things who I feel, like, understands the story, so you might talk about stuff that's not necessarily going in a fix, like, backstory or, like, character development that might not go in it, but like that you've thought about. So if you were doing a collaborative thing where you were writing it and they had input, like maybe just something where you just like talked about the story beforehand in email or like as a conversation on Skype or like if you recorded each other things, like something where you both felt like you really knew the characters really well. So
yeah,
I think
that sounds amazing, where you're getting, like, you're getting these stagehand directions, almost, of, like, so right before the scene, this is what I pictured happening. So you can come into it with the same kind of emotional intensity that the author meant for that scene to have. I think that sounds really fun.
I enjoy that. Yeah. It's like an in-between thing.
Yeah, the plot thicker still has a lot of control over, like, you know, how they say each particular line, but it's less likely that you will get the thing back as an author and be like, that is completely not the emotional state I wanted that character to be in. Like, it's, you know, like, it's so wrong that it's upsetting. Whereas, like, if you feel like they understood your character, then you could be like, yeah, that's not how I pictured it, but that's still, like, a really, that is how that character would say that, so that's great. So I think that would be a really nice way of collaborating with someone.
Yeah, the conversation, which is not something that, like, really falls into the hands-off or hands-on, but it's a really nice also way to do it. But just like the idea of sending a long email, like, here's what struck me about your story. This is what I feel like the characters are feeling, and this is what I feel like the big ideas are. Do you have stuff to add to that? What are you thinking? And getting a couple long emails back could be super, super fun for people who like discussing stories. Most people in fandom probably are in that category.
So clearly the author podficker relationship can be very complex, and I think both parties respect each other, but there's also a lot of degrees in which those relationships can happen in. Like, some can be really close, some can be really hands-off, and I think if you're just open about what you want to talk about or what you want from the relationship, I think you can get a really good relationship from that if you're willing to talk about
it. Yeah. But there can be, like, this really deep closeness, too, because, like, when I'm done with a podfic, I've spent probably more time with that author's words than anybody but them. And it's sort of like, it's like we both love the same child, you know? It's like,
yeah. And I'm also going to say that there's a lot of people that, like, I've made a lot of friends through podficking their fic. And so don't be afraid to go out there and talk to a podficker, and I think podfickers should also not be so, because I know it can be really scary too. It's like, I really like your stuff, I think you're amazing, and it can always just be like they're a celebrity or something where you're afraid of them. But
we don't bite, like, unless, like, it's consensual.
Okay, well, so thank you everyone for listening, and this podcast was brought to you by Patica
ALB
Weimar 27.
I'm Alejandra.